day is found in the 11th and the 12th chapter of the book of Numbers. We read, "And the people complained, and it displeased the Lord, for he heard it. And the Lord's anger was kindled with them, and the fire of the Lord burned amongst them," burned mostly on the outermost parts of the camp. We have here then the people complaining. Complaining is talking against someone, more or less complaining about things that we are not satisfied with. Many people complain, especially when they're afflicted by the hand of God. They have pain, and they have probably losses in the family of money, not enough being made to supply and pay for the expenses that are carried on. Complaining, most of us do. We are by nature all complainers. And these people, they were complaining probably against the way that God was leading them. What they were complaining about, you cannot find. It must have been a great sin because Moses knew nothing about it, and we find that God punished them as he had never punished them yet. They had complained before that they didn't have anything to eat, they didn't have any food, and they didn't have any meat, and God had supplied them at that time. But they had been complaining and murmuring, but he had never visited them as he did here in this first verse. "For the fire of the Lord went out and burnt amongst them." These people then were complaining against God, and God was displeased with their complaints, and he became angry. Many times we read in the scripture of the anger of God. We also read that he is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. But he has given us examples of his anger. We find that even he became angry with Moses. Moses was leading these people. He brought them to the rock, and he took the rod, and he smote with the rod upon the rock and said, "Hear ye, ye rebels, must we bring water forth for you?" This made God angry. He spoke in the wrong manner, and God would not let him go into the land of Canaan because he had spoken this way. God was angry with Aaron. He had made a golden calf, and Aaron knew nothing about this anger. But Moses was up on the mount with God and prayed to God that God would not consume Aaron, for he sure would have done so had not Moses interceded. He was angry with Aaron and Miriam when they complained about Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman. For the anger of the Lord is awful. Who can stand before his anger, the Bible says? No one. And now we find even Solomon, the son of David, such a wonderful king, he likewise made God angry because he built idols and worshiped them and fell into that sin of idolatry. Here the anger of the Lord was revealed with fire. God is sometimes an emblem of fire in the scriptures. "Is not my word like fire," he says, and when it is, then he is in this word. The fire melts, the fire humbles, the fire consumes. So if he should take hold of any of your hearts and enter with his word, you will find it to be as a fire. Fire, likewise, God has used many times in scripture. We read likewise of Elijah. Elijah, he was on the top of a mount, and the king had sent a captain with 50 to take him from off the mount and bring him down to the king. And the captain came to him and said, "O man of God, the king says you should come down off the mount." He says, if I am a man of God, he says, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Two times this happened. Awful judgments upon those poor men that were with these captains. They were consumed by the fire and the anger of God. This fire burned in and amongst these people because they were complaining about the leadings and the way that God was going with them. They had practically no reason to complain. What they were complaining about, we don't know. But it was natural for these people to complain. And Moses, he said unto them once, he said, since I have known you, he says, you have done nothing else but rebel against the Lord. They were a discontented and a rebellious people. And in this respect, they revealed themselves even in this first verse. They were complaining. And God came with his fire and consumed them to the uttermost parts of the camp. How many were consumed? We do not know. How many perished in this? We don't know. But the fire of the Lord is something awful. It came down out of the cloud, which was above them people. The fire had come down and consumed two of Aaron's sons, Abihu and Nadab. They had come to the altar with strange fire. They should have taken the fire from the altar, and they did not. And God, in his anger, consumed these two men. What an awful thing this was for Aaron to lose his two sons who were with him in the priesthood. Oh, when God's anger becomes aroused, oh, what terrible things happen as we follow in the scriptures. What an awful thing that will be when we speak about fire, when God will come in the last day, and when he will come with fire. Oh, what an awful thing that will be for you and I to see this great God appearing in the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, a blessing if he comes with his spirit as fire into our hearts and begins to work in us and turn us back unto himself. For these people, as they were really frightened, they had something to be frightened about, so many of them dying. And then they came to Moses. Out of this we see that Moses knew nothing about what was going on. Usually, God spoke to Moses and told him what he was going to do, but this time God's anger went out immediately. And now these people, they came to Moses. And Moses, he was as a father to these people. When they had trouble, they came to him, and he brought the trouble to God in prayer. And now here they were with this terrible judgment, and they came to Moses. And Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer, and the fire was burned. Oh, what a blessing it was for these people that they had a man like Moses with them, a man that lived so close to God, a man that had God's ear, a man that brought petitions and supplications to God and received an answer. This man was likewise an intercessor for these people at this present time. Oh, what a blessing to have such men, such women in the midst of a congregation who are joined to the Lord by one spirit and may find access to him. Oh, this Moses, he is a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses, by his intercession, by his prayer, he staunched the fire of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and who is an intercessor, who ever lives to intercede for us, the apostle says, he, by his sacrifice, by his coming down here upon earth, he staunched the wrath, the anger, the fire of God, so that sinners would not be consumed, but that sinners might be saved. Oh, what a wonderful type then was Moses of our Lord Jesus Christ. This precious Jesus, he ascended up into heaven. He's an advocate at the right hand of the Father. And if any man sin, the apostle says, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, my hearers, the psalmist says, he ascended up on high. And who did he ascend up on high for? And who does he intercede for? People like these heroes, Israelites, rebellious, discontented, complainers. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus intercedes for such sinners. Oh, surely, if you have a sight of him as an intercessor, your heart will surely go out to know whether he's interceding for you. These people then, the Israelites, they were mercifully spared in and through the intercession of Moses. Oh, may you and I be spared only for the sake of him that's at the right hand of the Father. It'll not be for anything in us, for we're not one bit better than these Israelites. Oh, no, my hearers. But for sinners, Jesus intercedes. And we find that this people, they should have learned a lesson. One would think they did, but no, they did not. There was no people like them upon the earth. It was God that was leading them. It was God that was feeding them. It was God that was protecting them. He went before them in the daytime in the pillar of cloud, and also at night with a pillar of fire. And they could see that God was with them when they looked up into the heavens. And he took not away the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from the people. It remained with them. 40 years they had this presence of God with them. But they had before complained and murmured that they didn't have anything to eat. And God had given them at that time flesh to eat and bread to eat. And God had caused manna to come down out of heaven so that these people had food to eat. This manna was a wonderful blessing unto these people. They didn't have to do anything for it. When the dew fell at night upon the camp, then this manna came down round about the camp. All they had to do was go out and pick it up and bring it in. And we have an account of what these people did with this manna, how they made cakes of it and how they baked it and how they made mortar and stirred it up and made different things that were very delicious to eat. For this manna was food, angel's food it's called, and God had given them this food. This manna fell 6 days a week round about the camp. On the seventh day, there was no manna. But on the sixth day, God gave a double supply for these people, so they did not have to go out on the seventh day to gather this manna. And God continued to give this manna for 40 years. 40 years these people were fed by God with manna. And it is estimated that there were anywheres in the neighborhood of about 3 million people in the camp. Tremendous amount of people. And all these people were fed out of the hand of God. It is estimated that just for one day in the camp of the Hebrews, 99,466 bushels of manna was consumed. That's a tremendous amount. It proves that it was a miracle of God. It was not of a natural thing. No. This manna, we find now that these people are tired of it. They're sick of it. The mixed multitude that went out with them out of the land of Egypt fell to lusting. This mixed multitude was the rabble. They were Egyptians. They weren't Hebrews. And they had only left Egypt because they couldn't probably make a livelihood in Egypt. Then they followed these Jews. They took hold of the skirt of the Jews to go into the promised land. That, they thought, would be wonderful, and they would be prosperous, and they would leave their country for this reason. They then were the scum and the illiterate people that had followed them. And this was the people that began to murmur, that began to complain, and fell to lusting. And when this happens amongst a society of people, that those that really aren't with their heart belonging to the society and begin to speak about these things, they infect others. So the infection spread to the children of Israel from these mixed multitudes. They were dissatisfied. They hadn't expected that they would be put on probation. They thought they would immediately go into the land of Canaan. But it didn't go that way. It was God that was leading these people. And now they began to complain, and they began to murmur, and they began to say things to the Israelites. And the Israelites, they were infected by what they said. And they likewise began to weep and cry in their tents. And they said, "We want flesh to eat." They actually demanded it. They didn't ask Moses to ask God for flesh. They actually demanded that they wanted flesh to eat. This mixed multitude then stirred up this rebellious and dissatisfaction nature of every one of us, and also of the Israelites at this time. So they were crying to have flesh to eat. And we read that they remembered that down in the land of Egypt, they ate fish freely. They had cucumbers, they had melons, they had leek, they had garlic, they had onions. They were thinking about the things that they had back in the land of Egypt. And they thought it was wrong of God to bring them out into this desert and only give them this manna that he gave them out of heaven. This is what was the case, and this is what was the sin. They thought it was wrong, and therefore they fell to lusting. These poor Israelites, had they only stopped to think what they were in the land of Egypt, they were slaves. They were being treated so mean by Pharaoh and these taskmasters. They were put to work to do things, and if they didn't do them, they had a whip in their hand and they beat them. They didn't think about these things. They only thought about the good things they had to eat in the land of Egypt. They had forgot all this toil and all this slavery and all what they had went through. This is what they wanted. They wanted flesh to eat. Now, if they wanted flesh to eat so much, when they had come up out of the land of Egypt, they come up with so much gold, silver, and much cattle. Tremendous. If they wanted so much flesh to eat, why didn't they kill their cattle? Why didn't they prepare some flesh and eat it? Probably they were covetous. They didn't want to use their cattle for meat. They got this bread for nothing. It came down from heaven. All they had to do was walk out and get it. They wanted God to give them flesh in the same way. It'd be much easier. This was entirely wrong of these people, to be lusting in this way for flesh to eat. Once before they had been murmuring and complaining, and God had given them flesh to eat. Quails, they had come over and fell around side the camp, and they had this here manna, and nothing was done to them at this time. But at this time now, they had been given to know God in many ways more than they had before. They had experienced God on the mount. They had heard his voice. He had given them his law and his ordinances. And they had grown in the knowledge of this God. How good he was, how kind he was, how merciful he was. But this took no effect upon these people, because they wanted flesh to eat. And now God, he became angry because They were weeping in their tents, these people. And they were thinking about all the good things they had in Egypt. They didn't think about what this good God had done for them. Could there have been a people better set in the world than them? Wasn't God taking care of them? Wasn't he guiding them? Here they stood up against him. Is it any wonder that God became angry? Oh, my dear hearers, it's a lesson for you and I. How good has God been to us? Hasn't he fed us all our life long? Hasn't he provided for us? And could you deny that you have never complained, that you never stood up from before God inside? Oh, my dear hearers, these people, they are a type of each and every one of us. That's why God has given us this word. It's a lesson for us. We are to learn from these people just what human nature is and what is in our hearts. What was in theirs is in ours. We aren't a bit any different. And now these people, they wanted flesh. And Moses, he was the leader of these people. And always to Moses they came, complaining to him. It's a wonder that this man was so patient and was so meek under all what he had to go through. He was burdened all the time with the troubles and with the distresses that these people were in. And we find that Moses likewise was very displeased at this time. God was angry and Moses was displeased. He was ready to give up this work. That's what he was. He even pleads with God why that God treated him the way he did, where he was his servant, and where he had given that all these people were a burden to him. They were too many, he says. He couldn't carry the burden of all these people. And now, he was not like a father to them. In other words, he hadn't brought them forth. They weren't from his body that these people had come. And now he had to be like a father to them, who, in the Israelitish camp, carried the young children whenever they had to move from a place and had to go to another place which God designated. Then the fathers, they usually picked up these little children and they carried them because this was too much for the mothers. And now Moses takes this as an example that these people were too much for him to carry. And he wished that God would either kill him or that he would lessen this burden which was upon him. These things that Moses said, they were contrary to what God had called him to do. He complained they were too much for him. What? What was he doing? Was he feeding them? Was he giving them bread to eat? It was God that was doing this. And where he was the servant and the leader of these people, it was God that was giving him strength to continue in his work. And he was complaining that it was too much for him. Now, truly, we can't pick too much upon Moses, because really, he was burdened quite a bit with these people, especially with all their complaints and all their rebelliousness. But he did not speak right in this particular place concerning the work he was in and concerning God. For he even desired that God would kill him. Oh, it is true, when things go wrong with us, then we might say, well, I wish I died. I wish I was dead. You hear that so many times in the world. When everything's gone wrong with people, then they want to get out of all the troubles that they're in. But this is no way to die. They're not ready to die. They're not in a proper mood to die. It's a blessing if we are like the apostle. He had a desire to depart to be with Christ, which was far better. Oh, if we are in such a mood, we are on the verge of heaven. Then it's a blessing to die. But to be like Moses was at this present time, he wanted to get out of this work and he wanted to be loose from all the people and he didn't want to be burdened anymore. And if God didn't want to lessen the burden, well then wouldn't God kill him? And God bared with Moses. God didn't become angry with him because he spoke that way. He knew that he was flesh. He knew that he was burdened with all these people in this way. And he took it very graciously of Moses. In fact, the people are crying, give us flesh. Moses, he's praying that somebody else would come down and somebody else would help him. So God, so good, so kind, he gives him that he should call 70 of the elders of the people and bring them outside of the tabernacle. And these people that are crying for flesh, he would supply their need too. But not in love, it would be in wrath, it would be a curse. But Moses was told to call 70 of the elders of Israel, men that he knew. It wasn't put to a vote to the people who they should choose. Moses had to choose them. And he chose 70 of these men, and they came out to the tabernacle. And God said that he would come down and meet them there, and he would take of the spirit of Moses and put it upon these 70 elders. And he told Moses that he would also give the people flesh to eat. He says, you tell the people, I'll give them flesh to eat. Not enough for a day or 2 days or 10 days or 20 days, but I'll give them enough for a whole month. That it'll come out of their nostrils. So much God was going to give these people in his anger. Moses then called the 70 men that he had written down and told them to come out to the tabernacle. And then God came out and let some of the spirit of Moses come down upon these 70. There were only 68 there. Two didn't come. They were written, their names were down. They were supposed to come, but they didn't come. Now when the spirit came down upon these people, they began to prophesy and they did not stop. And the Bible says there were two, Eldad and Medad, who were of the written, but they were in the camp. They hadn't come out to the tabernacle. And they also prophesied. The Spirit came down upon these two. Even though they hadn't come out there, the Spirit came upon them, and they were prophesying in the camp. And a young man, he ran to Moses and told Moses that Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. Forbid them, he says. No, no, Moses says. Why should I forbid them? Are you envious? He says, I wish all the people of the Lord were prophets and all prophesied. You see the spirit that Moses had? He wasn't envious that God took of his spirit and put it upon those 70 men. No. Oh, surely if you have the gift of the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you would wish that everybody you meet and everybody that you know would be given to know this Spirit and know something of this God in heaven above, who the Spirit leads us to and teaches us of. These people then, these 70 people, they then were chosen to help Moses in the work, in bearing all the burdens, in caring for this multitude of people. And now God promised to feed these people, but Moses, he was kind of unbelieving. He says to the Lord, he says, what are we going to use for meat, he says? You said you're going to feed these people a whole month with meat. What are we going to use for meat? We're going to take all the cattle, all the herds that they have. You're going to get all the fish out of the sea. Moses didn't have much faith. Moses didn't put any trust in God that he could do this. And God said to him, is my hand waxed short? You shall see that my word shall come to pass. Or maybe God has promised you something. And oh, so many things have come up against that promise. And it's been so long ago that you had the promise. And sometimes in your mind you say, I don't think God will ever fulfill that promise. You have unbelief concerning the promise. Unbelief concerning the power of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Unbelief is an awful sin. This is what we are infected with, unbelief. And so Moses was in this respect in unbelief at the present time. A man like Moses, the meekest man on the earth, who had seen so many of the wonders of God and so many miracles that he had done in the land of Egypt, them plagues that God sent. And likewise, in leading the people through the Red Sea, what wonders he saw. Was there anything too hard for this God? And still he says, how are you going to feed them? Where are you going to get the meat from? God answered him that his hand wasn't short. And his hand isn't too short, my hearers. His hand isn't too short to save the greatest sinner amongst us. He's able to do that. Oh, I hope that some sinner may be saying, oh, I wish he would save me. Have you got such a wish in your heart? Oh, blessed are you, you have. This is what each and every one of us need to be saved. And now we find that God was going to feed these people. And he was going to give them enough flesh to eat for a whole month. And God gave that a strong west wind came, the scripture says. And with this west wind came quails. Quails. Of these birds in Egypt, they are something like pigeons. They're about the size of pigeons. And there are flocks and flocks of them. They picture it in commentary somewhat like out in the western part of the United States. They likewise have wild pigeons. And sometimes there's a stream of them for 20 miles in the sky. They're flying from the north to the south. So it is in Egypt with these quails. They come over the Red Sea. And when they fly over the Red Sea, they have nowheres to land. And when they get on the shore of the Red Sea, then we find they're so exhausted they just fall down and lay there. And these quails, they came with this wind that God had brought. And they came over the sea and they fell on the ground. And now these people that were so anxious to have meat, they went and they picked them up. They didn't even bake them. They didn't do anything to them. A picture in the book. They're eating them. They're eating them the way they fell down. So strong was their lust and desire for meat. How awful, my hearers, were these people. And you can imagine, the Bible says, while the meat was still in their mouth, between their teeth, the Lord plagued the people with a great plague. Many of them died in this respect. Maybe they died because they did this way. And maybe they died because God struck them with a disease. Could be that the birds themselves had a disease in them. Anyway, it was God's judgment upon them for lusting after flesh. This is what they wanted, and this is what they got. But it was not in God's favor. Oh, how many times we as people, we desire to have things too. We see others, they have things, and we like to have them. And they are not what God wants us to have. And when we do not get them, we become discontented like these people. We begin to murmur. Where are them people? They don't go to church. They don't live like they should. They're wicked people, and they have everything. You're discontented. You're dissatisfied with the dealings of God in this world and with others in life. Oh, what are we, my hearers, when it comes to this great God who has everything in his hands? Oh, we are just like these Israelites, discontented murmurers, complainers. Oh, have you ever been given to see yourself as such? Have you ever went in secret on your knees and said, Lord, ever since today you led me out of this world, out of the Egypt of this world, I've given you nothing else but trouble. I've given you nothing else but complaints. I've done nothing else but murmur and rebel against thee. Such sinners find themselves to be just like these Israelites. And these Israelites, they were tormented and judged and plagued by God many times for their sins. And so if you be a true Israelite, God will visit you for your sins. He will bring the rod upon you, and he may bring affliction upon you. He may bring things upon you that you disagree with, but they are for your good, for your welfare. It's a blessing that God chastises us. For if we are without chastisement, we are not the children of God. We are bastards and not sons, the Bible says. Better to be chastised, yet better to feel the rod upon us than to go on in our sins and die in them. For the Lord bless our feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls for his name's sake. That's all for today.